As we come to reflect on this prayer, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it's a word of truth, a word that speaks honestly about how we feel in expressing it to you. Help us as we reflect on this psalm this morning to understand what you are saying to us, that our prayers may be inspired and encouraged through it. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you pray. There's a sense, and probably likely, that everyone in some way prays, even if they don't believe in God. But I wonder, in the present situation, in the present pandemic, whether you've been praying more. I wonder, maybe, if the ongoing pandemic and the fact that things seem to be getting worse has made you cry out in prayer. How long? Back in the summer, there was optimism. Boris Johnson said that by Christmas, we hope that things will be back to normal. We were looking forward to children going back into schools and to universities reopen. And a lot of those things have happened. And in many ways, our lives have got back more to normal. And yet now we find ourselves with the number of cases surging on, the number of problems rising, and the threat of renewed lockdowns, renewed restrictions coming into place. And all the while, much of our life is still far from normal, wearing masks in shops, being restricted in the numbers that can meet together, and so on. And we cry out, how long will this last? How long will this last? And of course, it is serious, isn't it? The number of hospital cases rising, the effect on the economy as restrictions have to be put into place, and the number of deaths continuing to rise. How long, as we fear for our loved ones and how this might affect them, or even for ourselves and how it might affect ourselves, particularly as we fear for the vulnerable and the elderly. How long will these fears last? How long will this virus be around? It's perhaps ironic that this week the James Bond film, It's No Time to Die, has been postponed once again. It's almost as they're saying that this is the time to die, that this is the reality of COVID-19. I wonder if you're pushed to prayer as you think and you focus on our present situation. I wonder if you're crying out to God, how long? Well, in Psalm 6, David is praying, and he's praying to God. And it's a passionate prayer, isn't it? It's an emotional prayer. And in the midst of this prayer, he says in verse 3, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? I don't know how you feel when you hear this kind of prayer. Is this the kind of way you pray? It almost feels irreverent towards God. It feels impatient towards God. He's almost saying to God, look, I'm struggling so much. I'm really desperate here. And yet, what are you doing? Why does it seem so long for you to be acting? How long, Lord? And may you feel embarrassed by this sort of passion, this sort of emotion. May you feel that David's being too impatient. May you feel that he's being far too negative and focusing on things. And yet, of course, the psalm does go on, doesn't it? By the end of the psalm, there is great confidence that God will act, that God will save him. And yet this psalm, this prayer, is a process. It's a journey. It doesn't ignore the problems that David is facing. We're not quite sure what the problem is, but it may well be that he is ill, that he's on his sickbed, that in his fever, in his pain, in his suffering, he's crying out. Yes, he does come to conclusion, he does come to confidence that God will save him, and yet there is a journey, there is a process. It's not that when faced with suffering and pain, David papers over that suffering and pain with a sort of thin veneer of faith. No, he seems to put his faith on the line as he plunges into the depths of his total despair. He brings those to God in this journey before God, before coming ultimately to that deep conclusion of confidence. Is this the way we pray? Are our prayers this honest and open before God? Are our prayers this real before God? Or do we simply try and paper over our pain and suffering with a thin veneer of faith? But as we come to look at this prayer and we see that David's prayer turns into confidence at the end, the question rises, why? What is it that turns him from deep despair, total despair, to this kind of total confidence? And if you compare verses 6 and 7, where he says, I'm worn out with my groaning all night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears, my eyes grow weak with sorrow, they fail because of all my foes. And then suddenly he says, away from me, all you who do evil. And there's this confidence that comes there. What is causing David to switch between despair and confidence? Why is it so sudden? I said it's a journey, but here it seems to be just a sudden click of the fingers and it happens. What's going on here? Well, one of the hinge things seems to be that he mentions at the end of verse 7 his foes, his enemies. And maybe as David is on his sickbed, as he's reflecting on the desperation of his situation, maybe even worried that for him now is the time to die, maybe reflects on his enemies, those who don't believe in God, those who despise him for his faith. And he thinks, well, they're going to look on and they're going to think, where's his God now? In a later psalm, Psalm 42, not by David, it says this, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? As David cries out to God, how long, O Lord, how long? Maybe he begins to fear that his enemies will look on him and mock God himself. And yet David at heart is a warrior. David at heart is the one who fought against God's enemies. He's most famous, isn't he, for the story of David and Goliath. That was his really starting out point. David comes as a young shepherd boy before this great tank of a warrior, 9 feet tall, wearing the greatest armor, the strongest suits, and a great sword and spear. And David comes before him with nothing. And yet, as everyone else looks on and sees this tank of a warrior about to destroy this shepherd boy, David sees it completely differently. Because for David, it isn't so much him against the giant, it's this giant against God. The living God of Israel. The God who is real. And David knows that Goliath is nothing before this God. And so in faith that God will win the victory, David comes before Goliath, and indeed David wins the victory, or at least God wins the victory for him. And so as David remembers his victory against his enemies because of his confidence and his faith in God, so David now, in the midst of his illness, gathers a renewed confidence before God. He knows that the arrogant cannot stand in God's presence. It says in chapter 5, verse 5, as he says, God, you hate all who do wrong. And now he says, away from me, all you who do evil. He's confident, isn't he, at the end, that his enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. God will prove to them that he is the living God. And you see, this raises the question of, who do you pray to? Whose God is it that you are praying to? Everyone prays. Maybe you've been praying more in this time. Hindus pray, Muslims pray, Buddhists pray, even atheists sometimes pray, even though they don't really believe they're praying to anyone or anything. But the key thing about prayer is not how you pray, but who you pray to. The key thing for David was not some prayer technique, some special wording, but actually who he was praying to. You see, even Goliath would have prayed. He would have prayed to the God of the Philistines, but David knew that God was not real. That God was dead and not living. It was man-made, not the creator of the universe. David knew that his God was the living God, the living God that revealed himself to Israel. And so in verses, in the second half of verse 8 and verse 9, he says three times, "The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer." Notice in our English versions, the Lord is in capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Is there to represent the name of God, the name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. And David is saying, look, it's Israel's God, it's the living God that answers. My enemies don't believe in that God, and my enemies will be put to shame, but I can have confidence because this God is the true God, the living God. It's not that you pray, it's not that you have faith, it's who you pray to, it's who you have faith in that matters. Is your God real? And as Christians, of course, we believe in Yahweh, we believe in the God of the Bible, but we believe that he showed himself to us in Jesus Christ. And we believe that this God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God that raised him from the dead. That this God is not just the one who has victory over human enemies, but this is the God who has the victory over the greatest enemy of all humankind. The victory over death itself. And he proved that victory by raising Jesus from the dead. And so it's this God that we put our hope in. It's this God that we pray to, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is this the God that you pray to? And actually, as we look back at David's prayer earlier on, we realize that as he prays with an understanding of the God who is revealed to Israel, of an understanding of this God. And there's a few things we could say here, but I want to focus on two. First of all, he prays to a God who he knows is compassionate. God reveals himself as the compassionate God. God is the one who saw Israel in their suffering as slaves in Egypt and responded with compassion. He was moved to act by the pain they were in. And he rescued them from their enemies, the Egyptians, and brought them out of slavery and ultimately into the promised land. And so David knows that God is a God of compassion, that God is moved by our suffering and our pain. And so he tells him how he feels. He tells him what he's going through. Verse 2, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish." David doesn't hold back, does he? He says, and in verses 6 and 7, he almost forgets about praying and just starts crying out about how bad things are, how much he's suffering. And he's talking about what it's like in the nighttime. And often when you're in pain or in suffering or you're in grief or you're stressed or you're worried or whatever it is, it's at nighttime that it can be most bad, can't it? It's at nighttime when you lie awake in the middle of the night that things are at their worst. And he says, look, "I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." God hears our prayers. God feels our hurts, and he acts in response. Jesus, again and again, was faced with people in desperate situations, desperate illness, people dying, fear of storms and so on, and he acted out of compassion. Donald Trump this week, as you know, went down with COVID-19. And yet he claimed that it was a blessing from God. It was good, a good thing, because he was able to try out this new treatment. He tried to put a positive spin on his illness and his suffering. And of course he's done that because he doesn't want to appear weak. He doesn't want to appear like he's been knocked back by the illness itself. And yet in doing so, he denies the reality of the pain and the suffering for those who have been hit badly by the illness. For those who have what's called long COVID and are suffering a long time because of a disease. For those who have lost loved ones or have gone through the trauma of being in hospital on ventilators. In saying to them that this is a good thing, this is a blessing from God, he seems to be ignoring their suffering and their pain. And yes, of course, God does use our suffering and our pain for good. The Bible talks about that in other places. But God never wants us to pretend that the suffering and the pain isn't real. God doesn't want us to cover it over with a veneer of faith. God doesn't want us to pretend that these things don't matter. You may be shocked by the power and the emotion that David talks about his own suffering, his own illness. But actually, God wants us to come to him and be honest about the reality of the pain that we're going through. So if you are suffering because of COVID-19, if you've gone through the illness yourself and been hit badly by it, or maybe you're still suffering with long COVID, or maybe you're affected by the results of the economic downturn, or maybe just the stress and the strain of the strangeness of our situation, or the uncertainties that are faced as we go forward, maybe the effect it's having on your mental health, then don't pretend these things don't matter. Don't pretend with God. Don't just put on a stiff upper lip or a happy smile. Come to God and be honest about how you're feeling. Bring God into the depths of your sadness, your misery, your stress. Because God is compassionate. Tell him how you feel. Because that is the kind of God we're praying to. This is the real living God. The God who created the universe, yes. The God who is all powerful, yes. But a God who cares about us. As it says in 1 Peter, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do you realize what God you are praying to if you're a Christian? Do you realize that he's a God of compassion? That he's a God who wants to hear about your pain and your suffering? And secondly, do you realize that God is concerned for his glory? In verse 5, David says, among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? David seems to be bargaining with God. He seems to be saying to God, look, if I die, who's going to praise you? Who's going to glorify you? If I die, what good can I do for your name? What good can I do for your glory in this life? And we might look at that and we might think, well, but as Christians, surely we shouldn't be concerned about death. As Christians, we should almost have a confidence facing death because we know that to die is to be with God. We've seen Jesus rise from the dead. We know there's a real and a living and a certain hope of life after death. And we know that to be God with God is to be away from the pain, away from the suffering, away from the difficulties of this life. And yet, isn't there still truth of verse 5 for us? Yes, probably David didn't have that same confidence in life beyond death that we have because he hadn't heard of Jesus rising from the dead. He lived 1,000 years before Jesus. And isn't there still truth of what he says, that once we die, we can no longer do good for God in this life? We can no longer praise him. We can no longer glorify him through our works. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, as he himself is in jail and possibly facing death, says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, i.e. to die, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. David prays to God in this way in verse 5 because he knows that God is concerned for his glory. But it reminds him, as he prays this, that he has a role for God in this life. He has a role to serve God, to bear fruit for God, to do what God is calling him to do, whatever that might be. And for us, actually, maybe as we face the fragility of our lives, as we realize that this illness does, yes, threaten to kill us, as we're reminded about death through this, even if we're more likely to die of something else, are we reminded about why God may not want us to die? Why God leaves us in this world? That we are here to glorify his name. That we are here to praise him in telling others who don't know him about the life of Jesus. In encouraging our Christian brothers and sisters as we praise and meet with them. Are we reminded about what our focus of life needs to be? In seeking to do our day-to-day work in a way that we seek to do it to praise God, to glorify him, whatever that may be, whether it just be looking after the children or whether it may be working on a computer or in carpentry or in teaching children or in caring for people, in a nursing home or in hospital, whatever your life may be, do you see it as doing it for God's glory? Maybe not specifically telling people all the time that it's for God's glory, but being known as a Christian and doing it as a good worker, so that people look at you and see there's something different about you and want to glorify God. Do you realize why God has left you here on earth, why it's not time for you to die? Can you confidently say to God, in the words of a James Bond film title, God, this is no time for me to die, because I have so much more to do for you. Do you know that God is concerned for his glory? He's concerned for what you may achieve for him in this world. Well, those are just a couple of things from this prayer that reflects David's understanding of who it is that he's praying to. So who do you pray to? Maybe you are someone who does pray. Maybe you are praying more because of the present crisis. But do you know who you are praying to? Do you know that this is the God of compassion? And do you know that this is the God who is concerned for his glory? Do you know that the Lord has heard my weeping? The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great example to us of prayer. Help us to know who we are praying to. Help us to know what you are like as a God of compassion, a God concerned for glory. And help us to pray honestly and openly, but with a mind to seek to do what you want us to do in the life that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.